This is Infants on Thrones, the philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
Infants on road trips, they talk as they drive a car. They drive around and talk all over the town. It's Infants on road trips.
Infants on road trips. They talk while they drive a car. Today's episode, The Sunstone.
Yeah.
Is it recording?
It is recording.
All right. So, yeah, you're just going to hold that on your...
Okay, yeah, this will be better.
All right.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Matt. So we just recorded about 10 minutes that ended up not recording. So we've got to go back and recreate it. So
that's the best podcast ever. When you try to recreate an organic conversation that becomes
what was spontaneous, and now it's going to be disingenuous.
Yeah.
But the disingenuous podcasts take a ton of work and rely solely on your donations or something.
Oh. See, and we're going to have that conversation in a minute too.
That, well, that's going to get cut out. I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to call Mormon Stores and John DeLynn disingenuous.
No, but I do want to have... Okay. We need to talk about that conversation.
Yeah, all right.
Because we had a couple of good conversations with John.
Okay, so Matt and I are driving back from Sunstone, and we've got several hours ahead of us. We don't have that much battery on my computer, so what may happen is that we have a really good, crisp-sounding recording, and then it changes to a less good crisp recording because we have to switch to a phone or something.
Right.
Where do you want to start, Matt? With
So what do you want to do? A recap of Sunstone?
Well, yeah. I mean, do you want to recap everything that we just said? Where you talk about how much you love me and you didn't realize before the drive up that you loved me as much as you actually do now?
That's a paraphrase. It was something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we drove up together. And we had a good time. Oh, I had a good time. Did you have a good time?
A very good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out, actually like Glenn.
Yeah. And like Matt's job, which he's totally burned out on, but his job is so much more interesting than mine is. Getting to listen to some of the things that are going on and that you do and how your brain works. You know, solving those problems and all the things that you just understand that come intuitively to you. It's so impressive.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. All right, let's pause the audio for a minute to make out.
Yep. Well, or you keep driving and I'll just, you know.
Okay.
We'll see where it goes.
Oh!
So this is our second time at Sunstone. Well, technically our third. We did Sunstone last year, Salt Lake, and then we did a regional
in Mesa.
Conference in Mesa, and then back at Salt Lake this year. But this was a little different. Well, I should say, what did you feel about last year?
Well, and I think I talked about this, last year after Sunstone. I felt really nervous and anxious. I wasn't that comfortable being there. I was comfortable with our presentation, and I enjoyed the presentation.
And that was the most Side Out.
Yeah, when we did the most Side Out.
The thing on Inside Out, we were the emotions.
Yeah.
It was really good.
But I felt like this social anxiety that sometimes I feel, but what was really magnified last year, and was a little worried that this year I might have that same experience. But we got a booth. We were selling some merchandise at the booth, and I think just having that space where we were really helped me personally. But it was great having people come up and talk to us and share their stories. And
last year, people coming up and really liked the podcast and, oh, can I get a hug or just want to meet you guys, was really just weird. It was awkward for you, and I know it was awkward for me. And a lot of the guys kind of said that, is we're not really. We weren't really, I guess, comfortable in that role, and And this year we weren't, no. But
well,
this year was different. It felt different anyway.
You know, in our panel discussion, which was recorded and will be published, you had a comment, Matt, about, like, don't anybody mistake, this is feeding our ego what we do. And I don't disagree with that, but I think there's a difference between the type of ego feeding that comes virtually through what we do,
yeah,
and actually being with people in person who look at us in a way very differently than we think of ourselves. You know, so it's like that, like, we've never wanted to have the cult of personality thing. We've never wanted to think of ourselves as being celebrities in any, yeah, kind of way. And it, if that happens and we can cut, you know, it's just, that's the part that's uncomfortable. And it's not that, that's not the ego trip, at least for me.
Yeah. Well, and what I think what a better articulation for me is,
oh, better than what I just said is what you're saying?
No, than what, okay, I said when I talked about feeding ego.
Oh, okay.
It's not that it feeds the ego. People talk about when we say things, it validates them.
Yeah.
And having people come up and talk to us and thank us for what we do, and
yeah,
and or talk about a podcast episode they like or something that was said, that validates me.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, that's what I mean by that when I say it feeds the ego. But so we had our booth and got a chance to talk to a lot of listeners who came up, and I was so incredibly just impressed with the quality of people, that the thoughtfulness and their stories, and they were touching. And
right, because we mostly think that all of you who are listening to us are losers, right? I mean, that's kind of our default assumption, is that only a bunch of pathetic losers would waste their time listening to anything that we have to say.
It felt like I said that, but I don't think that's what I meant.
That is exactly what you meant. No, but I agree. Meeting many of you face to face and hearing your stories. So who are some of the people that you remember? What are some of the stories that you remember from Thursday? When you go back to,
well, and Thursday was there wasn't that many people at Sunstone on Thursday just because of logistics, I think, and so it's the least attended day.
Yeah.
But there was what I was surprised with is the age of the people that came forward. It was, yeah, older than what, right, I thought our typical demo is.
Yeah.
You know, we figure we're younger, 30 to maybe a 30 to 50 year old demographic.
Yeah.
Mainly because we are infants, just kind of.
That's our age.
Yeah.
And
with the content and some of the swearing and all that, I just figured, well, it would be beneath some of our more seasoned people, I guess, or, yeah, maybe would be beyond it. But a number of people came up, and I remember one couple in particular, and I don't remember names, and apologize, but who were fairly recently out, you know, and as I recall, at about 60 years old, talked about just going out recently and how hard it has been after all these years, and their story was just incredibly touching and heart-wrenching, really. Yeah.
And you know, I think a story that is fairly common in ex-Mormon exit narratives is how you get shunned by your parents, or, yeah, you get shunned by your siblings, or you get shunned by your friends in some kind of way, at least during a part of that exit. And here we're talking to people who have raised their kids in the church, and then they leave the church, but their kids are still very active, and they're being shunned by their kids, which, you know, I'm sure we've talked with people in the 4 years we've been doing this podcast that have shared that sentiment with us, but that was something that really jumped out to me. Yeah. And seeing the sadness that causes them, the hardship, you know, Tom Phillips talked about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely, you know, there's reminiscent of that.
But you know, that was a story that I don't think is as common in the way that it gets expressed in these ex-Mormon narratives as it is common that it actually happens.
Right.
And I think that was something that was eye-opening to me. And maybe the demographic of Sunstone on a Thursday is older,
I think so,
people that are coming that are have gone to Sunstone for years. And
but we talked about that dynamic and the idea of a child who you taught,
right,
values to.
Right.
and you said, this is what you're to do, and this is what we're trying to instill in you, and then you shift, and that child has maintained those original values or those original beliefs that you provided, and how, you know, how much heartbreak that can cause when they, you know, when the kids kind of follow that path and maybe take or have a reaction to a parent leaving. And yeah. What a different dynamic that is than the reverse of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think about that as often, because it's not the typical narrative we hear, as you mentioned. But that one was, and it was just so neat to get to meet.
Yeah.
So it looks kind of weird. It's kind of so neat.
Yeah, it was neat. We've been in Utah for 3 days. So we can say things like that.
I never say that. But it was really neat.
You can say it was nifty.
Yeah.
Swell.
Swell. To meet those people and to visit with them. And again, it was validating for them to say, it's really helped.
Yeah.
What you do in listening and listening to you. And then the other one, the story that I remember was, oh, shoot, I don't remember the name, but it was a young girl that...
Danny,
that's right. Yeah. And I almost said that, but I didn't think that was right.
Yeah, it was.
Came by and just...
And right now, as Danny's listening to this, I can picture the expression on her face.
Yeah, right. you know, comes up and says, I just wanted to meet you guys. And then she walked away and then came back and asked for a hug from each of us.
Yeah.
And that was really touching.
Yeah.
And got to visit with her for a little bit. And then the few days
afterwards when we would see her and come by, and I think, you know, she had that kind of, wow, I'm in the presence of the infants, I can't believe it, I listen to these guys all the time and hear that, you know, that's that energy that I understand that kind of makes us feel a little bit nervous. And she was nervous, but then the more we interacted and came by, it kind of got to a normal... just interacting with people that you like,
yeah,
kind of thing. That was really nice.
And when you'd see them and kind of wave, or see them the next day, you just feel like, oh, there's a friend. There's a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and Patrick from San Diego, who is a non-Mormon, but has always been interested in Mormon things. He gave a comment in our panel, so you'll hear from him in part of our panel episode. It was great talking with him. So many people that came up. There was that one guy that was really kind of weird, and I don't he was asking weird questions. I don't know if you were here with this, because the other nice thing was that we get to hang out with each other in person. So Tom was there, and Jake was there, and John was there. Heather and Scott came later, but we were able to sit around at this table and talk with each other, and then people would come up, and this one guy kept asking us if you know, like, I think what he said was, oh, you guys getting in any trouble?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? What kind of trouble? He's like, you know, and then don't you ever worry for your lives? What?
Yeah, like, we're going to be assassinated.
Yeah,
or something.
Like, somebody's going to come in with the machine gun. I'm like, well, I am now.
What do you know that we don't?
What? You know, he's like, but I think that is maybe a common question that people have is, you know, because the things that we say can be looked at as offensive to certain people and disrespectful to certain people.
Well, set aside the machine gun thing, the common question we got is, how do you avoid excommunication? Or why
right,
does the
right,
church
right. Yeah, that's where I was going with that. Yeah.
Which I guess I was surprised at that people would expect that, but maybe I shouldn't be, because they look at John, they look at Jeremy, they look at Kate Kelly, and kind of think, well, why not us?
Well, I think it's that's a symptom of the fear culture that the church propagates, you know. So there's always this fear of violation that you're going to have some kind of retribution, you know, for stepping out of bounds, for stepping out of line. You know, Saul's wife that turns around and violates the commandment to turn around, but she does anyway. She's turned into a pillar of salt. You know, there's all kinds of stories like that reinforce what happens when you go outside the lines and you violate the norms and the values and the standards. And so we clearly, obviously, are outside of that, and we're violating those norms and standards, and do not recognize the authority of the Mormon Church or the Mormon Church leaders in our lives at all. And so there's that question, and maybe they're perplexed. Why is it that nothing has happened to you? Why aren't you turned into pillars of salt?
Or at least excommunicated.
And
we think the reason, I think the reason is that we put ourselves outside the church anyway, so they don't need to come after us or make sure that the members are aware that we are outsiders by excommunicating us because we've already done it for them. Essentially, but I'm really this is going to sound really cheesy, I guess, but what I was thinking about when people talk about the idea of a bright countenance, mm-hmm. and like
right.
a happiness,
yeah,
I feel like I see that in the people that come to Sunstone,
right,
and in people that are just embracing each other and you're seeing old friends, and I got the opportunity to visit with a handful of people, or meet for the first time in real life a handful of people that I've only known online,
right,
and that I've gotten to know in some cases a lot about them and a lot about their lives and their problems and different things through online communications, and so to get to see them and embrace them and to visit with them in real life was just, it was like a high school reunion.
It is, and I think we mentioned this when we were talking with Lindsay, who is the director of Sunstone, and it just has done such a phenomenal job of, I think, breathing life into this Sunstone conference over the last few years.
I mean, really, can you say, is it possible to say nicer things?
No,
about Lindsay?
About anybody.
Right.
I mean, I can't think of anybody that is more deserving of praise and respect than Lindsay for what she does. I mean, in every single way she handles herself and the conference and the organization of it, it's great.
Absolutely nails it. It's funny, our wives, because Krista wasn't there, but Kristen and Lonica were there, Scott's wife, and they both just separately and together, I really like her, and one of them said, I'd really like to be her friend, and I think that's what a lot of people feel is I want to be her friend, and as a result, Lindsay does have so many friends and deserves that, but
I know,
and that's not just don't need to lick her balls anymore or wash her balls anymore. I'm sorry, I didn't mean lick. I meant wash.
You can do whatever you want with her balls, but. That's between you and her. I'll let you work on
and
that.
I'm trying to channel Tom there. I think that's a Tom.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. His is wash.
That's what I went for.
It's
and
wash.
I went with Lick.
Yeah,
I know.
Lick. All right.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So I remember for years back, John DeLynn would say, we should create a big tent Mormonism community and have some kind of like Mormon Palooza type event where people all come from different things, and that's what Sunstone seems to be becoming,
heading to. Yeah, not quite there yet completely, but
much more than anything else that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and each year seems to be more and more that.
So. Yeah, I was super impressed with the people, and I didn't get to interact with a ton of people, but we had our spot, we had our corner.
Yeah,
and some people I would feel like they would walk by and they would look at us and kind of maybe scowl or frown a little bit,
turn
and walk
their nose
away.
Up, certainly,
and that may just be me.
No,
reading into that,
you picked up on that.
There could be some very valid reasons for that.
Yeah.
But my point there is that there's a space for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
In the Sunstone, and it really was nice. So it's something that I hope that we continue to be a part of for years to come.
So do you want to talk about one thing Lindsay said to us that we?
Yes. Yeah. I.
Is that what you're heading?
I at one point before you derailed us with the licking the balls comment, I was. But that.
I would like the licking the balls coming out.
Because we were talking to her about the way that she's put Sunstone together and all the work that she puts into being inclusive, reaching out to fundamentalist groups, bringing in
community of Christ.
Just all these different communities and making this Sunstone a safe place for people to be themselves. And every once in a while, there are some promotional stunts or things like that that will give Sunstone a black eye. You know, and we were talking to her about that, and she told us that she appreciated Infants on Thrones because we don't cause trouble. And that you might think, which is an interesting comment, you might think that Infants on Thrones would be creating trouble or controversy or,
yeah,
you know, something like that, but that we don't, and that there's actually a draw that brings other people to Sunstone that may not come otherwise. And they see that. You know, one of the things I was happy to hear from her, you know, there's different types of tickets that you can buy for Sunstone, right? There's like the entire week pass, there's daily passes, I think, and then there's single session passes.
Specific sessions.
Yeah. And that our session was, I think, the leader in single session tickets sold.
Well done, listeners.
Yeah.
So you brushed it over it a little bit, and I'm not going to get into the weeds, but other than to say this. Mm-hmm. Anybody who causes more stress and burden on Lindsay and Sunstone,
yeah,
knock it off. It's messed up.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. It's a ton of work anyway. Dealing with a lot of moving parts that to cause more problems for her is just kind of shitty.
Right.
So our goal, I think, just because I think that's our personality, is to not hopefully cause problems for organizations and other people.
No.
But to, you know, help out. So whatever.
Yeah, and in a completely unrelated note, next year for our merchandise, I think we should have little condoms that are like infant condoms.
Yeah.
That are like of the size of a dime, that are IoT condoms.
Yeah, I think
that would be a really fun novelty gag.
We'll have small ones and like petite ones.
Yeah.
Like that's the that is our magnum, is the little ones.
They could be the Infants on Bones condoms. Right? Yeah.
But the problem, see, but you have the same problem.
I have no idea why people would think that we would cause trouble.
Right.
I don't know where that comes from.
And I can see the controversy in having infant condoms.
Yeah, right.
There's some problems with that. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. But who was it? I think it was Erica, Jake's wife Erica, that was telling us that when they visited Tokyo earlier this year, they had these little pinky finger condoms for like eating food or picking food like that. So, you know, we may.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What else do you want to say?
We got to meet John and Tyler Glenn first on Friday.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyler was a cool guy. We got to visit him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was good. Always good to catch up with our friend John DeLynn.
Well, with Tyler, because I'd never met Tyler Glenn or interacted with him at all, but we had our anger episode where we talked about his music video and then the, you know, Elder Holland thing. That was when we did the smack up of Gina Colvin's thing, which Gina was there and I didn't meet her, and I should have met her. You know, she was one of the people that I wish that I would have met and spent some time with. But at any rate, I asked Tyler if he listened to that, and kind of smiled a little bit. He said, yeah, you know, and I said, do you hate us? Are you pissed at us? He said, no, totally cool. And then I said, I got to ask you this question. So I speculated that the robe that he was wearing in the video was modeled after Lucifer's priesthood robe in the Temple movie.
And I thought it was a good catch.
Yeah. And he said, no.
And I liked what he said, though, about that. He said, you know, I'm talking tomorrow, and I really don't want to go through some of the symbolism and why I did what I did, because I've really enjoyed hearing people's speculation
and interpretation, what it means to them. Yeah,
which I totally dig, because that is kind of art. When they come out and say, no, this is actually what it means, sometimes there's I don't know, it takes away, but it's fun. The speculation is fun, and I think that's what makes art really good, is when it can get that reaction and get people to think about it. So.
And it was nice catching up with John and talking to him about his recent controversies, you know, since he came on and was the, we called it the reluctant atheist, you know, tongue-in-cheek, the reluctant atheist, that we're just joking, not really, but sort of, but really not really, and What was it? Then the Scott Gordon thing that happened afterwards, and then Dan Peterson picked it up.
Tried to slime him, or tried to somehow call into question his credibility as an atheist. And John, who does say he has hope, although I think candidly, we think he's an atheist. I mean, I'll say he's an atheist.
I don't think that hoping that there's a God disqualifies someone as an atheist.
Right.
I think that there may be plenty of atheists who would you know, I mean, hope is such a, you know, like what do you actually mean when you say that you hope that there's a God?
Right.
It means that you hope that there's some love out there, that you hope.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Do you hope that there's some guidance? You know.
Well, we just stopped by the cemetery in Provo, so Kristen could see her mom's grave, and she mentioned that. She said, you know, the idea of being able to see her again would be really nice. And so I think she articulated hope.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
that she's not an atheist.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that the way that she's living her life now is going to be, I got to go back to church and I got to get all these ordinances done that are necessary for salvation.
Right.
I got to pay my tithing and go
to
the temple.
Or even I need to start praying to a being, or acknowledge a being in my life. So I think. We listened to the AMA and Glenn.
John did a Facebook. Ask me almost anything. Yeah, that's what he. He published that, and I listened to that on the drive up. Yeah,
and there was a little section there where
a
couple issues, and Glenn, as we're just kind of saying hi, starts to kind of needle him about, hey John, I heard your AMA, and that was kind of interesting what you said, and I'm just like, I'm sitting there.
Well, because it seemed to me like the John that was on with us, was a very different flavor of John than
that's what you say.
Yeah,
you said I listened to your AMA and
it's
you were
like
very
different.
Guy. Yeah,
and he's like, how was I different?
And I'm sitting there so uncomfortable. And I'm trying to not, I'm like, no, John, don't listen. You're fine. Just let's not have this conversation.
But
now
he likes it, I think. I think he really likes the feedback. He appreciates it. And
he's willing to explain. He wants an opportunity to explain himself,
and he knows that we're friends, and that we're you know, like at the end of the day, any needling or teasing, it's, you know, we're supportive of each other, and it's not you know, like I don't contribute financially to what he does, but I support what he does.
I ran into him last night after we left the lounge area and visited, and he mentioned, he said, you know, I used to feel more competition towards other Mormon podcasters, and he's like, I don't you know, I think there's enough for everyone, and we support. And I wanted to tease him and say, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say that when we've already declared we will not be asking for donations.
Yeah.
Right? And there's some truth to that. I mean, I think he's genuine. I really don't believe that's what he's articulating.
No, but the other thing, I talked with him about this a little bit, but we didn't really get a chance to flush it out, and maybe we'll have a conversation with him at another point. But there was one section of his AMA where a listener asked him the question, what's your favorite ex-Mormon stereotype? And, you know, his response was kind of tongue in cheek at first. He made some jokes about what was it that people get offended and then leave the church, or they
want
because they want to sin.
Yeah,
yeah, they want to. I'm sacrificing everything in my life because I want to drink a beer. You know, this tongue in cheek. But then he goes, but having said that, you know, there is a lot of alcoholism. You know, alcohol abuse.
Drug
abuse. It's very common for people to have extramarital affairs and adultery that lead to divorce.
And open up their marriages.
Yeah, you know, this is a common thing. And
they said if they want to do that, that's fine. We shouldn't judge them.
My favorite thing.
But.
My favorite thing was when he said, it's okay to drink alcohol responsibly. Christ did. Christ drank responsibly. That is awesome.
Although I call into question that, because there's a reason he had to turn water into wine, and that's because they had consumed all the freaking wine before then.
Yeah,
right.
But he
maybe
he,
not him.
He never rode on a donkey while drunk. I think we need to make that clear.
Yeah. But then he says, don't judge these people for doing that if right. that's what they choose to do.
Show them. We should show them empathy and not judge them, which I think is a good message, right?
But.
And you know, is genuine. And then he goes, but should, when we leave Mormonism, we should have a higher standard. We should live a better life. And I'm like, John, how can you say let's not judge, but let's be better than?
Right.
Like, what is that? And I don't think that there's anything disingenuous in what he's doing or saying. I think I'm splitting hairs and playing a semantic game with him. But
that's what, where I said, it's not easy. I told John, it's not easy when your critics and your enemies
Enemies? I'm not an enemy.
No.
It's a friend.
I said, when your enemies parse through every word, but also your friends do that too, which we are, and we...
I thought you said when your friends are assholes.
I did say that.
Yeah, you said it's not easy when your friends are assholes or parse your every word that you say and critique everything.
And it is, you know, and we should be more, maybe kinder when somebody's speaking extemporaneously and trying to communicate something. And
yeah, because we do that too.
Yeah.
You know, we make mistakes in what we say all the time.
Yeah, if people smacked us down, I'm sure there's a lot of mistakes.
Definitely.
But we had a chance to flesh that out a little more and John provided some interesting and heartbreaking anecdotes from people who were, he said there's a basis for that. And yes, those do exist, but it's always fun to catch up with him and meet them.
But so you had some response to how common it actually is with it, like you kind of take issue even with that being a stereotype that's out there.
Oh, absolutely. And because I think to say it's common in the ex-Mormon world is just an overstatement, and it's myopic. It's like saying, well, amongst my friends, this. Well, that's expand out there. It's no more common in the ex-Mormon world than it is in the world.
Right, yeah.
And the ex-Mormons happen to be a subset of people.
Well, but it's the equivalent of saying that it's very common for ex-Mormons to not be Mormon anymore. It's like, yes, that is categorically correct.
It's very common for ex-Mormons to really, really overeat pizza.
Yeah.
Really common. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's... Well,
it's just as common for Mormons to overeat pizza. But where Mormonism is defined in part by, you know, these codes of morality and the word of wisdom, that when somebody leaves Mormonism... Of course, those standards no longer apply for the same reasons, and so, you know, there is drinking, and sometimes, and I've worried about this myself, and you know, oh, am I going to become an alcoholic?
Sure.
What does it mean to drink responsibly? I don't have any experience with that until I've left the church, so I, you know, it's something I'm having to learn and try and figure out, and...
I think the problem we all have is that somehow doing that is not trading up or is trading down or is John applying
that's a form of judgment.
Yeah, John applying the standards of Mormonism as the measurement I think is flawed
of what's higher or lower standard of life. You know,
because there's an argument to say, okay, yes, there are potential risks with alcohol or with you know if drugs are involved or whatever, but. There are other risks in staying Mormon or in the things that the other things that come if that's not an issue. You know, and John, if you want, or anyone want to talk about alcohol or drugs, well, let's talk about prescription drug abuse in the Mormon church. And there are real problems in the Mormon church as well. It was odd for me to hear him talk about those things as alcohol in particular as somehow. That's trading down, and I think a lot of the people that I know that are divorced or have gotten divorced after becoming ex-Mormons, they're genuinely and substantially happier now as a result of that divorce, and it turns out that they were in an unhappy marriage, and that the conflicts in Mormonism, if that's what it was, turned out that wasn't the only conflict or even the real conflict. Once you strip that away, you get a chance to see that there are other fundamental problems here that should result in this not being a relationship. So It's unfair to characterize that as somehow trading down, I guess.
And something that you just said reminded me of a couple of people that we talked to who had been through a divorce, and their story was that the church was the common link between them.
Yeah.
And that they both left the church together, and then as they no longer have this common link, they realize we don't really have that much in common anymore, and that there isn't anything that really draws us together, and they separate, which is always a hard thing to do. Yeah. Especially, you know, when you have been so close with someone in your life. But, you know, just to say that that's not just a painful step in improving your life, you know, okay, maybe there's a little dip where you're feeling it's trading down or something, but ultimately it can lead you to a better place. And, you know, so I always applaud John for his attempts at inclusiveness. Sometimes I think he overextends himself there. That, yeah. You know, that, like, to say let's not judge and then turn around and say a comment that kind of relies on judgment. I think if we could explore that and say what are healthy ways of judging, what are unhealthy ways of judging, instead of just, you know, oh, let's not be judgmental, but let's just be better. And that's a funny comment to me.
It is, but there's a real Mormon hangover anytime anybody's going to focus on something like alcohol and say, well, I know a lot of ex-Mormons that have become alcoholics, therefore, you know, alcohol's bad. Now, there's a risk, but it's one of many risks of in life, and that can affect, you know, there's an argument that video games or other things can also take away from the quality of life. And I think it's a little myopic, but I mean, that being said, I can't. I genuinely have such affection for John and consider him a good friend, and do love what he does. And yeah. It's always fun to give him shit, quite frankly.
It is a lot of fun. On the alcohol thing, I just remembered, you know, my attitude for such a big part of my life, part of my youth, and I was telling your daughter Dylan about this a little bit. You know, when I was in high school and people around me were drinking, and I really disapproved of it and was trying to help them, like, create activities and things that, through the school, that they could enjoy themselves and not be drinking. You know, I always took it as a badge of honor, and this sounds so douchey now, but I don't need alcohol to have a good
fun time.
You know, I get high on life, you know, like that whole kind of thing. And that was just how I felt for so long.
Yep.
And so even when I came, you know, came out of Mormonism, it wasn't like I'm rushing to experience drinking alcohol, but there's this movie that my family has watched since I was a little kid around Christmas time. It's the Albert Finney version of Scrooge. It's a musical, and there's one song where the ghost of Christmas future, you know, comes to Scrooge. He's got this big goblet of wine, and he gives it to Scrooge, which turns Scrooge from being this grumpy old man to laughing and giggling and feeling happy. And, you know, this is the milk of human kindness, is what it. But it's clearly an intoxicating drink that he's. And so I'm watching this, and the song that they sing is "I Like Life." And they're enjoying life by drinking this. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll try it. And I did. I thought to myself, why am I denying myself this experience of life, of feeling that intoxication that comes from drinking? It really does enhance the pleasure of the moment in certain cases. And can that be abused? Absolutely, it can be. It's abused far too often. And it is dangerous if you're going down that path. But isn't the better thing to learn where that happy ground is than to be a total, what is it, teetotaler?
And when we were having that conversation with John, there was another friend there that really articulated just that. He said, of course, there are risks, and alcohol or substances, if it's marijuana or whatever, can detract and can take away from life. And if it's happening, don't do that.
Yeah.
If it's really impacting your life negatively. But at the same way, if it is contributing to and an enhancing experience. It has the ability to do that too.
Right.
And that comes back to being responsible and understanding, levels and not overdoing it and doing it with the right people in the right settings under the right circumstances. And that may include,
That was a good three pattern, by the way.
Very
poetic. No, but it was the three rights. It's not. That's why I would say it's a good three pattern.
Oh, good three pattern. Yeah. Thank you. So, and I think there's what you said and what he said, which is so that was a two pattern. You said it, and I just said, hey, this guy said it too.
Yeah.
A little long. Make this thing a little longer. But no. It was a good articulation that I haven't been able to really articulate in the past, and I'm going to steal it. So, and I've seen that in my life. And have there been instances where it's detracted from my life, or nights where I really, maybe regretted having that other drink?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right, because you've got a headache the next day. Or
even I got into an argument that I otherwise wouldn't have gotten into, or something. That
you?
Happens.
You?
Oh, yeah, I know.
You wouldn't have gotten into those arguments anyway? Are you sure?
I believe yes.
Okay,
all
right.
And there's one time in particular I just remember my wife and I clashed, and it was we were both happened to be in a state and in a it was probably the type of alcohol just made us kind of grumpier, made us more angry, and that's generally not what happens. I'm generally happy when I start feeling the effects, but this one time it didn't, so I regretted that. And so you learn from that, and you dial up. The answer isn't, oh, well, we will never drink again. It's, well, we will never drink like that in that setting again.
This is such a weird tangent that we've gotten.
Is it?
I think, we started off talking about how awesome Sunstone and our experiences, and now we're the defenders of alcoholism.
Not alcoholism.
I know.
But I think it's an important point because it's not talked about enough. It's always, even for drinkers, it's all or nothing, and especially early on, I think it's important to talk about set and setting, for lack of a better term, and certain people you may not want to drink around, or may not want them to drink around you, anytime you're having a substance that is more, that loosens you up is a social lubricant, you need to be careful, or at least aware of the other people who are in that situation.
So what did we do, Matt, in our downtime at Sunstone when we weren't there? What did we do for fun?
Well, I want to ask you something else if I can. Get there. Okay. Let's do that and then I'll do mine.
Okay.
You mean not at Sunstone?
Yeah, when we weren't at Sunstone.
We
ate. Yeah,
we ate and hung out at your mom's.
Hung out with my mom.
With your mom and stepdad's.
Yeah,
house.
We went. My mom was so gracious and excited to have us there, and such a great host.
Here's what I wanted to know. Do you think that's how they live, like all the time, or was that like for us? Was she just?
Which part?
Like the making the breakfast for us beforehand, and the beautiful breakfast and delicious breakfast.
That's something that they always do.
They? Like,
oh yeah, they're. So my mom and her husband David are really good about just enjoying their house, enjoying their backyard. That's why it looks so nice.
Beautiful.
And they've got
Gosh.
And they'll just go out and sit on the back porch, or they'll have their meals out there, the sitting by the breakfast table in the nook with the windows open and just feeling good.
It is an experience in and of itself, kind of doing that.
Very simple pleasures. So, the thing that I think is funny, and the reason I asked you the question is, and maybe it goes to Lindsay's comment about, who the infants are and what the infants do as troublemakers. We went to my mom's house. We played ping pong in the basement. We played this game called Quiplash on the TV and on our devices, which is basically apples to apples and
big ups to Quiplash. If you haven't played it,
it's a lot of fun.
I recommend it. JackboxTV.com or Jackbox.tv or something like that.
Well, that's the website that you go on to.
People can find it if they want to play it. Probably go there.
It's just and
no, we were big nerds, is what you're saying.
We were big nerds, and we fixed some drinks. We had some cocktails with it, but nobody got drunk or hammered or anything like that. It was a family home evening
Yeah.
We were having family home evenings every night and just really enjoying, like staying up until 2 in the morning talking with each other and just really enjoying it.
And having great conversations with interesting people.
Yeah, trading up.
Really, but hearing, you know, what I was struck by is how much I enjoyed visiting with people that are older than me.
Yeah.
This week.
That you normally just judge as being...
older, fuddy-duddy, kind of...
You know, remarkable.
Yeah, right. You know, and maybe that's just a reflection on the point of life we are. We are older. We're in our 40s
we
now. But,
we
did. We didn't have this infant, you know...
rager.
Yeah.
We didn't go out raging. You know, that's not... Yeah.
And, you know, in many ways, I think we're beyond it. For the most part, but yeah, and it was a lot of fun just hanging with these people, and actually that dovetails to what I wanted to say, which was I just want to talk about the infants.
Yeah,
and you know we don't get to associate or just hang out socially because of logistics and where we all live, and so to get a chance to hang out with Tom for a while, which we don't get to do, and just how Tom is Tom. Whether he's on a podcast or whether he's in a living room, we're just hanging out, or whether he's at the table at Sunstone and we're having the same banter, the same conversation.
Or at the dinner table, just silently sitting, rolling his eyes with every bite that we take and just like, this is so good, because we're all foodies and Tom is not.
Yeah.
And like, oh, come on, you guys.
Yeah, I want to flesh that out a little more. Because we had some great meals. I'm gonna without any expectation plug a couple places.
Yeah. Okay.
So the pie, what's it called?
Pie Pizzeria.
Pie Pizzeria.
That was
great pizza.
That was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, really good. And then the next day we went to
Cafe Trio.
Cafe Trio. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was excellent.
The place was so good.
And what was that cocktail that you ordered that had the elderflower liquor in it?
The Trio Consumate or something like that.
What was in it?
Okay, so it was Grey Goose vodka, elderflower, like an elderflower juice or an elderflower
liquor.
I don't think it was a liquor. I thought it was just a flavoring. Anyway, and like lemon juice. And that was it. It was super simple.
Oh, my gosh.
It came in like a Hemingway daiquiri glass, and it was an absolute delight.
Yeah.
But the food was great. And again, great conversation with your mom and David and Jake and Erica Tom. I forget who else. Just and you. I guess that was it, because Kristen was away and Heather and Scott weren't there yet. But it was just a lot of fun. And then we all went back and just hung out again. I mean, that's just what we did. And then Finca. Oh yeah. So Tom, we started talking about being a foodie, and the guy is like the anti foodie.
Yeah.
Like
resolutely anti foodie.
And you said it really good. You said Tom cares so little. about food. I mean, he cares so little.
That was tongue in cheek, you know.
About what he eats.
Yeah, right.
That he cares so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he kept telling me, I don't care what we eat. There's an Arby's. There's a Burger King. Let's just go.
Whereas we wanted really fine.
Right. But then when we would say, do you want to try this? No. Do you want to do this? No. Do you want to do this? No. Okay, that doesn't sound like somebody who doesn't care.
Right, right. And then the next night we do Finca.
Yeah.
Which... We did that last year.
Tapas,
the tapas place, and we did paella and tapas, and man, it was really, really good.
Yeah, the pork belly that we ordered too much of.
Oh, gosh. And everything we got there. And Tom's just sitting over there, just like rolling his eyes as we're just appreciating every bite.
Yeah.
And it was.
And he's like, the meatballs were pretty good.
so the infants and getting to. To visit. And every time we get together, I feel this way. And so, you know, when Bob and Randy weren't there, but you know, Randy and I had been long friends and before the podcast. And so we love getting together. But when we hang out with Bob, I love visiting with Bob in person. He's a lot of fun. And this is the first time I got to meet Heather in person, and she just fit in as comfortably and as easily in person as she did on the podcast, and so that was a lot of fun. Just
and she's tall, right?
Oh, crazy tall,
like super, super tall.
Yeah, for me especially as the shortest infant.
You're going to embrace that, huh?
Well, at 5'10 and a half.
Yeah. Well, Bob's like 5'6.
Yeah.
Bob's five, maybe 5'6.
5'7.
Yeah, and Bob, if you want to say anything different about that, yeah, you know,
you're gonna have to come on a podcast.
Go ahead, come on and dispute that, or show up at Sunstone and get a picture taken with us to prove it.
Yeah. But, and that Scott guy, he's okay.
Yeah,
he's all right. We're kind of man.
Who's Scott?
Yeah.
Oh, Scott's the other. Scott's the George Harrison of the infants, the forgotten silent infant in the background.
But the when he really hits, it's while my guitar gently weeps. It's solid.
Yeah, something, and you know all the Scott's awesome.
That's right. And you know, to get to hang out with Ian and his wife, and which we do in theme, you know, our closest friends, and Jake and Erica, who, you know, I'm washing everybody's balls, but I just have such love and affection for all these people. I have such love, I have such affection, and I have such good feelings.
Wow.
For each of these people.
Yeah. Three completely different ideas strung together. That's nice. That is good.
Love
and affection and appreciation.
And Jake rolled out his video, which, oh my gosh.
Yeah. The new Brother Jake video that is a parody of that presidential musical. What is it?
It's Franklin the Musical.
The Musical. The black kid from Charlie Brown is what we figured out. No, I couldn't remember Hamilton for the life of me, and I kept calling it Franklin.
Well, but it was so good, and yeah, maybe it's good that we don't live together, because I don't know that we could get together that often. And
we could, and we would, and it would be awesome.
I know. But it's so fun to get together, and you just realize, or I realized, I guess, the summation from Sunstone is, man, these are my people. This is my community, top to bottom. These Sunstone people, the people that come there, and I'll include in that the believers that came.
Yeah,
I mean, we interacted with we got to meet some people who we have a very have a close relationship to through friends and family members that we've never met before.
Uh-huh.
And they're a little more on the believing side, and gosh, you just I you feel like your family, and you know, embracing them, and I come back to that countenance thing, and everybody just seems to be light and happy. And although there's life's complicated and there's trauma associated with leaving the church and those things, there are also so many rich experiences and rich relationships as a result, and it's a good reminder for that.
Yeah.
And it just re-energized me, and this is worth doing, and it's worth talking about, if for no other reason to interact with these people.
Were you there when Bill Reel came over and talked to us?
No, I visited with Bill another time.
And what is the it's the Mormon Historian Podcast? Is that what it's called?
I thought he was Mormon Discussions.
Mormon Discussions. Mormon Discussions.
And which, Dylan needs to pee.
Okay.
And the speed limit is 8. Okay, you're going fast enough. Kristen was complaining about your speed, I think.
That I wasn't going fast enough?
I don't know what her text means.
Okay. So, you know, meeting guys like Bill, just such a cool guy. And I don't listen to other podcasts, and I feel like I'm unplugged, really, from everything else that's going on around us. And I feel bad about that, but I loved the chance of sitting down and just talking with him for 5 or 10 minutes and getting to know him a little bit. That I don't know how much we would agree on as far of, like, you know, and I don't really even know now how much of a believer he is. I know that he's active and you know, wants to, probably in that New Order Mormon space, you know, the NOM space. But you know, what a great guy. Like, we could have a really interesting conversation with him. That's not like, oh, Mike Tannehill's the only one that we could ever talk to that's a believer.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And what was the Blankenagel? Is it Bryce? Is that his name? Naked Mormonism guy.
I was going to mention him. He came by
and talked about doing some collaboration on some stuff, and just some...
Seems like a real nice guy, thoughtful, doing good work, and a number of people asked me if I'd listened, and I feel bad when I say, oh no, I don't listen, and it's not because I think I'm too good, I just am... It's just not something I consume, but he's doing good work, and to meet them, and...
Yeah.
Oh, I did want to give a shout-out, too. We the listeners are so kind. I mean, it was incredible, the people who want to contribute to the podcast in some way.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, you know, we're down at the truck, at the food trucks, and Bart, you know, was so kind and wanted to buy our lunch and talked about, you know, starting to listen, and his wife's a big fan, and got to visit with him, and you know, not just that he bought a sandwich, but just super nice and thoughtful and just nice guy, and it was just fun to get to know these people.
So what did this experience do for you personally, Matt, as far as your burnout that you've been experiencing recently?
I was feeling less burnout, you know, after talking to John
but this
absolutely re-energized me, and to talk about this stuff and say there's real value in talking about what we talk about, and that because Mormonism has influenced us and instructed our life, that maybe I don't need to embrace or I don't need to reject that and say, well, I want to be non-Mormon and I don't want this to be a part of my life, but to embrace it and say it has added to my life or got me to a place that has enriched my life, and a lot of that trauma that I went through in retrospect is also enriching and enhancing and magnifies so much of the good things in life. I think I can appreciate, like you said, visiting with your mom and Dave with a cocktail in hand better than if I didn't know what the alternative was.
Right. Yeah, and
how about
and
you?
I the same way, and I think I really like. It seems like there might be a common theme in some of the things that we've been putting out recently, and especially with Sage's series of, you know, how to be an atheist without being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like how do we embrace the value of the experience that we've had being Mormon? And the appreciation we have for things that it contributed to it, and you know, wash Mormonism balls without licking them.
Yeah,
I think is the way.
That's a good theme.
To express
that's a good
that.
Theme. Yeah,
you know, but I like to explore that more in future episodes of, you know, the healthy ex-Mormonism and how do we raise the bar and maybe have a higher whatever.
But it's such a great statement because I this week, if not another one, or if not tomorrow, I don't feel this way. This week, I do feel like that. I value my Mormonism because it's brought these people into my life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but it's also made you who you are in ways that we can explore more. And, you know, one of the things that Heather and I talked about when, you know, last year, last fall, when she was coming on the podcast was she wrote out, like, her values. What are things that she values and how she has replaced.
Sorry, I just like to watch my wife walk away.
Me too.
I enjoy,
yeah. Oh, no. I'm right there with you, man. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Exactly. But that Heather has this list of values that I've wanted to sit down and have that conversation with her. I think we should do that.
Yeah.
And what are the codes that you live by after Mormonism has contributed what it contributes and has nothing more to add, you know?
Yeah, and man, Sage's.
Sage,
Oh, and getting to meet Sage.
Right.
Super, I mean...
And Rachel, his wife.
Yes.
So cool.
Yeah.
Such a great couple. Yeah.
You know, what he is doing is inspired, and it really was where I was heading, although I'd never really had a good idea of how I would have multiple episodes or what you'd really talk after just once, you know?
Well.
But
because like you and Randy should have really long ago explained how to be an atheist without being an asshole. Like, what are your secrets? How have you accomplished that?
Because we haven't.
Yeah.
Right. As I told sage about being an asshole. I said, but the problem is I'm an asshole just generally.
But not really. It's just playful asshole.
No, you know. Come on. Well, there are times. Randy and I have very similar. Randy is a magnification to me in many ways, but we have the same things. We are very passionate and we feel so much for other people, and so sometimes it is manifest with dickish
rage.
Behavior and rage and assholeness, and then it's this instantaneous just regret, and we beat ourselves up over it, and yeah.
You want to go get a burger?
I'd like to pee at least.
Yeah. All right.
So are we done, or are we going to come back? I'm having fun. Yeah. You having fun?
Sure.
Is it still recording?
Sure.
You say sure like I want to pee.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew.
Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley. And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.